Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion, another week. It's great to be able to pause and open up God's Word and see what He has to say to us for another week. Well, very likely it's not going to be a full week of devotions this week, as on Thursday I travel down south in order to go to the General Assembly for our denomination. So Thursday, Friday and Saturday, there probably won't be anything. I'm thinking I might try and fit someone in down there. I'm going to be spending some time with a very dear friend of mine called Pastor Jeff Lloyd. So I thought maybe I might interview him or something like that for one of the devotions. But if I happen to turn up on one of the days, great. If not, you know why. But today we're opening up God's Word, turning to the book of Revelation. If this is your first time tuning in, we've been working our way from James through the New Testament, and we find ourselves in Revelation chapter 2, looking at Jesus' letters to the churches. So if you've got your Bible, open it up with me, and we will turn through to Revelation chapter 2, and we're looking at Smyrna today. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. Well, as we finish reading God's Word, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for another week that we're able to pause in the afternoon and open up God's word. And we just pray that, Lord, you would bless it to us. We pray that you would use it to nourish us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Smyrna was an interesting place to live, apparently. Smyrna was a challenging place to live. It wasn't that different than the rest of the Roman cities, to be honest. But there was a particular type of struggle in Smyrna, and it was the opposition that Christians faced. And the opposition they faced is what sort of brought Jesus to write this letter. And in this letter, he's going to commend them. He's going to prepare them. He's going to exhort them. And he's not going to rebuke them. And that's a very interesting point, because Smyrna is the only church out of the seven churches to not be rebuked. The other six, there is all something Jesus says, I don't like this. This needs to stop. In all the other churches, he says that, but to Smyrna, he doesn't. To Smyrna, He, in a sense, he celebrates and encourages them to continue. A little bit like what we saw with some of the epistles. You remember that back with the epistles, that the epistle writers would often, they would celebrate what people were doing well, and then encourage them to carry on doing it. Well, here we're dealing with suffering. And the interesting thing is, I wonder what you would write if you wrote to Smyrna. You know, here's a people that are suffering for their faith. They're consistently suffering for their faith. And I wonder what sort of letter you would write to them. I think, to be honest, if I was to write to them, my letter would probably read something like, I'm really sorry that you're undergoing such hard opposition. I'm sorry that times are so challenging for you. But do you notice Jesus doesn't do that? In fact, in the New Testament, of all the epistles, of all the letters in Revelation, you never find God or an apostle apologizing, offering condolences for the situation that the church finds herself in. Have you ever noticed that? You never hear an apostolic writer saying, I'm really sorry this is happening to you. Never. And do you know why? It's because it's normal for Christians to suffer. It's normal for Christians to face difficulties. It's normal for us to be in tribulation. And so as we come to live out our life in this world, when we face difficulties, we shouldn't be surprised by it. But so often in the West, that's what it's like, isn't it? So often in the West, when we face challenges and trials because we're Christians, we react really strongly. Why is this happening to me? Why am I facing this difficulty? Why is my boss doing this to me? Why is my work colleague doing this to me? Why is my husband doing this to me? Why is my wife doing this to me? Why is my golf buddy doing this to me? Yeah, and we react, well, whoa, what's going on? This is so foreign. But the Bible never acts like that. We shouldn't expect to act like that. In fact, persecution should come and we should go, oh, to quote the old song, hello darkness, my old friend. As the church, it should be, hello suffering, my old friend. I see you've come to me again. Our lot in life as believers is tribulation, trial, difficulties, opposition. And as Christ writes to Smyrna, the first thing he does is he commends them for their faithfulness in that. Have a look at that. Have a look at verse 9 with me. He says to them, I know your tribulation and your poverty and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Now the particular suffering in Smyrna right now is probably, now we can't be totally sure, but probably something that was fairly common in their time, and that is connecting to the poverty. It was more of like a public scene type of persecution. What I mean by that is, generally speaking, most Christians could live out their life in relative safety in the Roman Empire. Very relative safety. As long as they didn't sort of irk anybody the wrong way, they could just sort of do their own thing. Now, the problem came whenever you wanted to do anything of importance. If you wanted to go to a public event, if you wanted to advance in your work, if you wanted to get in with the guilds. So if you don't know what a guild is and how that works, I haven't got time to explain that, but I mean, Google it to begin with. But basically, if you wanted to advance, let's say as a blacksmith or a silversmith, then you had to get in with the guild. You had to get in with the important people. And in order to do that, you would have to go to special feasts and special banquets. And in order to do that, you'd have to make sacrifices. And so silversmith Joe Bloggs, a faithful witness of Christ, he wants to become better at his job. And so he goes along to the silversmith banquet, the silversmith guild, and he applies to join. And part of joining is, of course, offering sacrifices to the local deity and offering sacrifices to the emperor, of which Joe Bloggs would refuse. And so Joe Bloggs would be cast out from the guild. He would be effectively cut off from business. Other people would no longer trade with him. He would lose sales and he would become poor. And of course, you can see the crossover into our world today, can't you? I mean, think about just in sports. I remember as a kid growing up, I loved cricket. and I got to trial to play for the sort of local, the Waikato team, which is like our region. So I got to play for the trial for the reps, and I would have got in, except for the fact that they played cricket on Sundays. And so my parents said to me, no, you cannot join the cricket team because it's going to lead you to have to do something which would not honor God. And so I didn't have the choice because I was still a young child, but my parents were faced with that choice of, do I want my child to advance in the world's eyes, or do I want my child to honor Christ? And that's the sort of persecution that they're dealing with. And so Jesus commends them by saying, I know what you're doing. I know you. And he says, you're rich. He says, you're not poor. No matter what all the world says, no matter what everybody says, you're rich because you're faithful. But then he calls them to more faithfulness, doesn't he? But before he does that, he warns them. He tells them what's coming. He prepares them for the next thing. Have a look at 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Now, John picks up on some Old Testament imagery, as we'd expect in Revelation, and I think he links back to the book of Daniel. Do you remember in the book of Daniel when there's the young men and they stand before the house, the master of the house, and they say, look, test us for 10 days. 10 days. Test us for 10 days. We're not going to eat from the king's table. To eat from the king's table was to recognize his authority, and the king in Babylon was seen as God. And so they were saying, we're not going to recognize the Babylon king as God. We're not going to say Nebuchadnezzar is God, and we're not going to eat from his table. You just test us for 10 days, and we'll be faithful to God and his eating demands. And so they honor God rather than the king. And John draws on this. He says, look, for 10 days, you're going to be tested to see whether you will continue to honor the king. And you've got that same imagery of Job. Remember the devil coming and saying, hey, he's only good because you give him good stuff. Let me have him and I'll show you how he's going to turn away. And so Job's tested and he's faithful. And so here's this picture of the people at Smyrna. And John says, look, hard times are coming. Jesus says, the devil is going to seek to throw you in prison. Some of you are going to die. We know that they're going to die because he says later on, anyone who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. And be faithful unto death in verse 10, and I will give you the crown of life. So there, Jesus is saying, look, some of you are going to die. Some of you are going to die for your faith. You need to hold on. And he exhorts them to faithfulness, to obtain the crown of life. In other words, in similar words to what the Hebrews writer says about Jesus. Remember Hebrews, it says about Jesus that for the joy set before him, he endures the suffering and the shame of the cross. And so now Jesus says to this church, for the crown of life set before you, for the joy set before you, be faithful and suffer even to the point of death. Give up your life before giving up me. And what will be the reward? How do we do this? Well, the key is in the outside of the sandwich of this section. Verse 8, he says to Smyrna that this comes from he who is the first and the last. He who died and came to life. So you see, Jesus is saying, look, I write to you. I write to you as one who knows what it's like. I write to you as the one who died but has come back to life. I write to you as one who has died and come back to life. And I write to you, last verse, I write to you as the one who promises that he who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. So Jesus exhorts them to faithfulness and says to them, look, I have given you the resources you need to do this, to endure, to suffer, to walk in my shoes, to walk in my life, and you will not die. In other words, what's more important, this life or the next? And that's the challenge for you and I, isn't it? It's all fine to say, Oh, I'll suffer when times get hard later. You know, I'll be ready to stand up for Christ if persecution ever comes. The question is, are you doing that today? Are you willing to die to your desires now, to richness, to wealth, to success, to everything for the sake of Christ now, because you recognize that the next life is more important than this life? Are you willing to acknowledge that the next life is worth more than this life? That by faith, we look to Christ and we recognize life with him is worth infinitely more riches than any life here. Because when we put our faith in Christ, we are safe from the second death. We are safe in eternity. And let's be honest, what's this life got on eternity? 70 years of bliss now, or infinite years with Christ in bliss then? Seems like a ridiculous choice, doesn't it? Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that you would help us to be faithful. Lord, we thank you for this church, for the Smyrna, and the example that she was and is for us. And we pray that you'd help us to follow not just in her footsteps, but in Christ's. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me again for another daily devotion. I will look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Tomorrow will be Westminster Wednesday. We're finally moving on from the first chapter. It's been a while, but we're moving on to chapter 2 and we're going to begin looking at the Trinity. So I encourage you to come and join me for that. Otherwise, hopefully, I might be able to get something else out the rest of the list this week. Otherwise, it's going to be a couple of weeks before I'm back. So have a wonderful day, week, however long it is, and I'll see you next time I see you. Goodbye.